Some of us are called to be witnesses. Some of us are called to the witness stand, literally or metaphorically. John the Baptist was called to bear witness to the one who is the way and the truth and the life. He saw Jesus coming down to the Jordan and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the next day, John bore witness again by exclaiming, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." John bore witness to the one who brings forgiveness and reconciliation, peace with God, the one we worship and adore. John the Baptist never pointed to himself. He said, "I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." He points away from himself to the one who ranks ahead of me. "I am not the Christ. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals." So John takes the witness stand to tell the truth about the light that shines and the darkness that does not understand. And of course, we know the rest of the story, how bearing witness to the truth carries a price. John told the truth about the darkness and Herod Antipas, and that ultimately cost him his head, literally. To bear witness to the truth, to take the witness stand, can indeed be quite costly. Nevertheless, John told the truth about Jesus and the truth about Herod. He was a witness par excellence. Now, this weekend, our country pauses to remember with gratitude another witness, a preacher who bore witness to Jesus Christ, who takes away our sin, a prophet who bore witness against the original sin of our nation, the sin of slavery, and the resulting sin of Jim Crow. Today, we give thanks for the life and witness of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King grew up in segregated Atlanta, Georgia, where his father was a pastor. And in 1939, when Martin was but 10 years old, he witnessed all the fanfare of the world premiere of Gone with the Wind at Lowe's Grand Theater in downtown Atlanta. There was a giant parade and then an elaborate ball attended by all the Hollywood stars. What a sight to behold, this portrait of a world lost forever in the Civil War. That movie had it all. Rich Southerners, beloved heroine, self-absorbed men and women, and of course, black slaves. And the Battle of Atlanta, which drove old Dixie down, as the song said. That was the lost cause that the Jim Crow South tried to resurrect. A world where whites remained supreme and blacks were told to know your place. A subservient society propped up by black housekeepers, sharecroppers, and ditch diggers. I grew up in that world. I know that world. It was a place where many whites believed that the sun that sets may never rise, but rebel spirit never dies. The school motto for my high school, Robert E. Lee High School. And that rebel spirit was embodied in Governor George Wallace, who famously proclaimed, "Segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever." It was this world that Dr. Martin Luther King challenged. He bore witness to this painful truth. The world of Jim Crow was cruel and unjust. No matter how Gone with the Wind portrayed those days of yore. This was Dr. King's truth. All people are created equal. They are endowed by their creator by certain unalienable rights. As well as this truth, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sin of prejudice and hatred, injustice and cruelty. And by appealing to the best in the American tradition, and by appealing to the best in the gospel, Dr. King hoped that the better angels of our nature would move us to justice and equality, and maybe even maybe even a beloved community. But to the road to that land flowing with milk and honey also took Dr. King through the valley of the shadow of death. In January 1956, 2 months after Rosa Parks' refusal to sit in the segregated rear of a city bus, this 26-year-old Baptist pastor became the leader of the Montgomery bus boycott. Dr. King led the negotiations with the city, but the talks had stalled and tensions were running high. And on the night of January 30th, 1956, the date Gandhi was assassinated 8 years previous, Dr. King's home was bombed with dynamite. And rushing home from a meeting, Dr. King found his wife Coretta and their young daughter surrounded by all kinds of people, even the police commissioner and the mayor of the city. And after the official words of regret, King found his house surrounded then by a large group of young blacks who were ready to attack the white people of Atlanta. And King stepped out on the shattered front porch of his house, still smelling of dynamite fume, and pleaded like this: "My wife and baby are all right. I want you to go home now and put up your weapons. We cannot solve this problem through retaliatory violence. We must love our white brothers, no matter what they do to us. We must make them know that we love them." Jesus still cries out across the centuries, "Love your enemies." That is what we must live. We must meet hate with love. Well, later that night, in a church member's home, King was simply unable to sleep. Reflecting on the fact that his family could have been killed, he really was on the verge of real hatred himself. His internal struggle led him to have his home protected by armed guards. But this so went against his convictions about nonviolence that he finally ordered the guards away. He observed this: "I've got to be totally nonviolent, because the guns at my house are going to attract more guns." Until the end of his life, caused by a bullet in a rifle, he would not have armed guards protecting him. Behold the Lamb of God that is sometimes led to slaughter. Now, perhaps we all understand that deeply spiritual and emotional struggle Dr. King experienced after his house was bombed. The anger that easily wells up into hatred. The deep resentment of feeling oneself a victim of other people. We all know that feeling. And recently, with the events in our nation's streets, I have felt something of that anger myself. We have all seen the push and pull of political disagreements spill out into violence against all kinds of people. I was especially distressed by the killing of Renee Good in Minneapolis. By the way, she was a Presbyterian. Our General Assembly leaders have condemned her shooting as entirely unnecessary and unjustified. I share that feeling, as I suspect many. So, brothers and sisters, I confess to you, my personal struggle is that I do not want to succumb to hate, ever. The letter of Ephesians in the 4th chapter reminds us so powerfully, "Be angry, but do not sin." May I repeat that? Be angry, but do not sin. Yes, anger at injustice and violence, but do not fall into hatred and sheer malice yourself. Jesus was angry at the money changers in the temple, you remember. But remember, he did not kill them. In fact, when he used that whip to drive out the animals and overturn their tables, it only led to his own death. It was the final straw in the resentment against him. It was a prophetic act that cost him his life. So what happens, brothers and sisters, when we resort to violence, to the bombing of the homes of our political opponents? What happens when we shoot people like Renee Good. Something sacred has been snuffed out, both the life of the victim and within the heart of the perpetrator. Whether throwing bombs or shooting pistols, something profound has been lost. Our humanity, our sense of decency, our interconnectedness with others, our compassion. And here is where, in my opinion, the Church of Jesus Christ must step up. Like John the Baptist, we must witness to the truth about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we must witness against the darkness and the sin that so easily becomes hatred and violence. The truth about the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, even to a violent mob. And the truth about the darkness that does not understand. All the while knowing the risk of being a witness, of taking the witness stand. It was costly for John the Baptist, costly for Jesus, costly for Martin Luther King, and now costly for Renee. All week long, I've been praying this prayer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.